of growth.
Governor Rick Snyder says he will sign the bill. CBS's Randall Pinkston.
The big picture here is that this is another chink in the armor of unions around the country. A number of states already have right-to-work laws, and of course, as fewer people become union members, the union's political power is diminished.
It means non-union workers can be hired in heretofore union shops, which proponents say will lead to more jobs in a state with one of the worst unemployment rates in the nation. Former NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue, asked to judge the New Orleans Saints bounties scandal, has overturned the suspensions of four current and former Saints players. Will Brinson of CBSSports.com.
It's kind of a way for the NFL to put its hands up and walk away from what has become quickly a messy situation, one that's tarnished the actual football being played on the field.
There could also be fines from the NFL against those players because, Tagliabue said, the performance pool that rewarded hard hits was real, and it's been detrimental to the league. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is vastly inclusive these days.
The Queen of Disco is now a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Donna Summer is among those on the inductee list. Also entering the Hall of Fame, Heart. And one of the most influential hip-hop groups, Public Enemy. Other inductees, Rush, Randy Newman, Albert King, Lou Adler, and Quincy Jones. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Top CEOs across the nation are calling on the President and the Congress to make spending reductions in multiples of any increased revenues from higher taxes.
The nation's top business leaders are getting nervous about the fiscal cliff and have written another letter urging Congress and the President to find a deal to avoid what they call significant negative consequences. 158 CEOs from the Business Roundtable say a compromise should include higher taxes, reduced spending, and significant changes to reduce long-term costs of Medicare and Social Security.
That's CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. More job openings in the want ads in October. Standard & Poor's economist Beth Ann Bovino.
It's actually a positive news. It brought jobs openings now to a four-month high. Good news, and it's coming on the back of some positive pieces of information on initial claims and payrolls.
On Wall Street, the Dow's up about 73 points, and Nasdaq's gained 35. Oil prices, $85.81 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, Dave.
And I've got no idea what makes a website successful. Believe me, I've tried.
Lucky for Dave, there's Web.com. Web.com will build his website and yours for free. You heard right. You can do what over 3 million small businesses have already done. Team with the experts at Web.com to get a website built for free. Plus, you'll get 30 days to experience our comprehensive hosting, support, maintenance, and marketing on Google, Yahoo, Bing, and hundreds of other locations absolutely risk-free. For more information on getting your website built for free, call web.com today.
Wow, thanks. I feel much better.
Call web.com today at 855-288-2631. That's 855-288-2631 or visit web.com/radio.
It's called a top secret mini space plane because it belongs to the Air Force, which doesn't talk about its payloads or missions.
It's the second flight for this particular spacecraft, the third in the series.
And liftoff. Liftoff of the United Launch Alliance Atlas V rocket carrying the third OTV mission for the United States Air Force.
The X-37B looks a lot like NASA's space shuttle. It's about a quarter of its size. Its cargo bay is about the same as that of a pickup truck bed. No word on what the Air Force actually carries aboard this spacecraft, although there's speculation that it's a test bed for spy hardware. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Police in Portage, Indiana, say 23-year-old Timothy Thompson was doing 100 miles an hour on a county road. He told them he'd just got out of jail and was racing to his wedding. So they followed him to the church, where he did donuts in his Jeep. He didn't make the wedding. Police took him to jail instead. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You want to give one special gift. It shows that you love what they do. It gives them cheer all through the year. You always hear, thank you.
Give a, give a, give a, give a Garmin. Give a, give a, give a, give a Garmin.
Find something fun for everyone. Garmin.com, Garmin.com.
Do you have dark circles or puffy eyes? Every listener who calls now can try a risk-free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. We only have a limited supply of risk-free jars, so don't wait. Call us now for details. Just call 1-800-489-1373. That's 1-800-489-1373. Call 1-800-489-1373.
Karen Vili is going to be in Moscow with a subject that many consider muy importante. You're with Bill Benneke. Talk is cheap.
And now, here's Bill Benneke.
Attention coffee lovers, Slow Roasted Coffee is inviting you to Something's Brewing, a free event on Saturday, December 15th from noon to 4 at our warehouse in Los Osos. You'll expand your coffee IQ in ways you never imagined. From noon to 1, you'll sample and learn which chocolates and pastries pair best with our coffees. From 1 till 2, there's a coffee roasting demonstration. Then from 2 till 3, we'll be demonstrating how our automated bagging process works. In the final hour, from 3 to 4, there's going to be a cupping class, where you'll learn to drink and taste black coffee using a process similar to wine tasting. And we'll have free giveaways throughout the afternoon. Our retail store will be open and admission is free Saturday, December 15th from noon to 4, when we host Something's Brewing. Join Slow Roasted Coffee for Something's Brewing at our warehouse, located in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shushun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Get some shoes. Would you get some chews for Christmas? All right. You're with Bill Becker. Talk is cheap. Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your new station. And before Karen shows up here, let me see if we can do our flashback, our highlight, our birthdays, our thingies in history, according to the Tribune. Highlight history on December 11th of 1972, Apollo 17's lunar module landed on the moon while with astronauts Eugene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt aboard. During their extravehicular activities, they became the last two men to step onto the lunar surface so far. On this date, 1792, Francis King Louis XVI went before the convention to face charges of treason. He was convicted and executed the following month. 1936, Britain's King Edward VIII abdicated the throne. In 2008, Bernie Madoff was arrested and accused of running a multi-billion-dollar Ponzi scheme. Madoff serving a 150-year federal prison sentence. He died, didn't he? Anyway, I thought so. Our birthday today. Actress Rita Moreno is 81. Former California state lawmaker Tom Hayden is 73. Pop singer David Gates is 72. Actress Donna Mills is 70. Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts is 69. Singer Brenda Lee is 68. Actress Terry Garr is 65. Singer Jermaine Jackson is 58. Rock musician Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue is 54. Actor Ben Browder is 50 today. Rapper actor Mos Def is 39. Actress Haley Steinfeld from True Grit. Remember the girl in True Grit? 16 years old today. Happy birthday to them and to you if it is yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
Here's the news. Another action-filled adventure.
All right, this is the news you could use with Bill, and Karen Vealey's due in here momentarily, and we'll be talking to her about that when she gets in. In the meantime, in between time, let's find out what's going on at calcosnews.com as we speak. A Los Osos man, 86, allegedly killed his 81-year-old wife. The man is in jail. That doesn't make sense. Let me try this again. The man is in jail after Montana de Oro State Park Rangers discovered the body of an 81-year-old wife in his vehicle. San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's deputies arrested George Taylor after they determined he had killed his wife. Medical personnel then transported the elderly homicide suspect to Sierra Vista Regional Medical Center, where he was treated for non-life-threatening injuries. George Taylor weighs 150 pounds, was later booked in the Slo County Jail on a charge of murder where he is being held without bail. Coroner's office and sheriff deputies are continuing to investigate the murder of George Taylor's wife, Gwen Taylor. Officials said they are releasing no further information at this time. Both the Taylors were weekly attendees at Slo County Board of Supervisors meetings, where they expressed their strong opinions about the sewer project and groundwater issues. Supervisors Jim Patterson and Bruce Gibson referred to the Taylors as members of a vocal Los Osos group they dubbed the Dirty Dozen. Gwen Taylor was very informed on groundwater and property issues and often shared the knowledge with the community. Her frail husband had been in failing health for some time. George Taylor retired from Los Angeles County Fire Department and moved to Los Osos with his wife in 1972. Several of their friends believe the couple, married about 66 years, had agreed to a suicide pact because of health issues and their strong bond. So much for that pact.
Wait. Isn't, you know, it's very sad. For those that watch the supervisor meetings,
He was incredibly frail, had very bad knees, very, very thin. He would walk up with a fireman's cap on, and currently he is being held without bond at 86 years old in the county jail.
Well, again, I think what this brings to bear is the fact that, you know, we have this terrible situation of health issues for the elderly. And, you know, this just continues and continues and continues. And the sad part is, I was just speaking with a friend yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, my in-laws are older, in their 80s, and his father-in-law just died 2 weeks ago. His mother-in-law has dementia and Alzheimer's. And what he said to me was, it makes me think, what's going to happen to me? You know, what's going to happen to us as we get older, you know, and what's the circumstance going to be? That's not why Karen Vealey's here, however. Karen Vealey's here to share some information that she uncovered regarding a story that came out it was from last Friday when it was Pearl Harbor Day.
I do want to add one more thing about George and Glenn's situation. I have been told that some local firemen have contacted the L.A. Fire Department and are asking them to assist George right now in some way to be able to get him out of jail and get him some assistance.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, I guess he's 86 years old. He's 150 pounds.
I know. And he can hardly – he doesn't walk well.
Well, here's the interesting thing that I don't know, and maybe you do. They said he was treated for injuries and then released. Did he try to shoot himself?
They aren't saying right now, but I've had several of his friends call, the couple's friends, and they said, you know, they were always together and, you know, did everything together and had said that they didn't know how, you know, people do not believe that they thought that they could go on without the other one. And I wonder if he did do something to himself or maybe she did something to him and then did something to herself and didn't do it correctly. Who knows?
Something went awry. Anyway, that's an interesting story. We'll keep you up to date on that. I don't know why this story doesn't want to come up for me today.
The other story has to do with Friday, which was National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. And President Barack Obama every year makes a proclamation asking organizations, government bodies, and others to fly the American flag at half-mast to support the patriots, you know, those that died, military and not military, during the attack on America, which I think happened 70 or 72 years ago.
1941.
And he sent out a very impassioned plea. And throughout the county, businesses, McDonald's, communities, but again, San Luis Obispo employees were told they were not allowed to follow the president's proclamation and were ordered to keep the flags at half staff.
You know who else is involved in this is McClintock's has a special luncheon for the Pearl Harbor survivors. So I called them, and they said, yes, we had it at Steamers. And then I got hold of Steamers, and whoever I talked to didn't know how many had attended. I think they had just got there.
I heard it was a very small turnout. Again, there's not as many survivors.
Well, yeah, I think 2-3 years ago there was only 6, so it has to be, you know, fewer than that.
And but still, the people, the employees from San Luis Obispo, they complained last year. They complained at different events where military, those that die in military service, when it's refused to allow the flag to be flown. Now, federal statute says that only the governor and the president of the United States can determine when a U.S. flag is flown at half staff. California statute public building. San Luis Obispo determined the right wasn't the president, and as part of the mayor, whoever the mayor is, 2 extra powers above the rest of the city council. Those 2 powers are they run the meetings, and the second power is special ceremonies. They have some power over, including determining when a flag can be flown at half staff in honor of someone and who they are in honor of. Now, federal statute says it can only be certain reasons, but locally, it has been determined that a Pearl Harbor member passed away. Mayor Jan Marks was informed immediately. She, on the 4th, shortly after the man's death, determined tomorrow we're going to fly the flags at half staff. Employees have been emailing management saying, you cannot supersede federal statutes with your own laws and say it's the mayor's job to determine the U.S. flag of the United States is flown and not the president's and not governor's. But the city has held tight for a couple years and refused. So this year, employees became very angry, and they sent numerous emails over to the city manager's office, and they were impassioned. They were talking about being under mortar fire, being in Afghanistan, being in different wars, and saying, I fought for my country, I fought through combat, the flag was draped over my fallen comrades' caskets, and now I'm at a city where the flag is not allowed to be at half staff for fallen soldiers. Very angry.
Well, the other thing, too, I'm going to let you go, and then I'm going to, I think I know where I'm going with you, but I want you to go ahead and keep going.
And the other issue is several firefighters who had fought in war, combat, decided, wait a minute, we're going to hang that flag at half staff when we hang it today. We're not going to put it all the way up because the mayor wants it all the way up. We're going to do it. So they went out and put the flags at half staff on their fire department. Well, it got back to management. Now, Mayor Jan Marks said they called her after they told him to raise it. Some of the employers are saying Mayor Marks then found out about it, ordered it back up to the top of the pole. The assistant city manager then contacted the fire chief, who told the firemen, raise that flag back up. Well, this upset more than just firemen. It upset policemen, public worksmen, people that work for Parks and Rec. The amount of emails that went around, and they went to all the employees and management saying, you have no right to break federal statutes and do this. So meanwhile, I got hold of the mayor, and you know, I guess they had the parade that day, and they had other things that they were doing. She said she plans on looking into it, and she was aware of all the emails and what was going on. But several of the employees then said, you know, her husband dodged the draft. And should a person that spent 18 years in Canada avoiding her husband getting drafted be electing that people that did serve cannot be honored in the city? So I sent an email to Mayor Marks, and I said, did you move to Canada to avoid the draft? And she told me no. And when I said, I have a blog of your husband's where he says you did, along with other things that I will not publish, a lot of very behaviors that some may question in the city, but they're not part of the story. She wrote back that it was no one's business what her family did. But again, the employees are questioning, you left this country for 18 years. In your husband's writings, you both consider Canada home and like it better than the U.S. and consider it your true home, and you came back here because of elderly family members and to give your children a chance at some of the things in the U.S. But that you still go back every year and with plans to go back. Should you then be determining when the U.S. flag is flown at half staff for veterans?
Now, here's the other thing that's interesting. So her husband's name is Stephen, and so the thread you came across, you know, they blog themselves. Now I take it they're sort of anti-war people.
They were part of a group, and a lot of people were anti-Vietnam. I think probably the bulk of the population was anti-Vietnam, and some went as far as to leave, and many people support that.
Even some of us that were there were sort of anti-Vietnam at the time.
Yes, and that's not the issue. This isn't, did you support Vietnam, did you not support
Vietnam?
Well,
no, and you're right. This has nothing to do with Korea on, you know what I mean? This has to do with something that happened on December 7th in 1941, and subsequently, along with the fight in Europe, I mean, a total of, what, 35 million American men served and women served overseas, you know, in an effort to save the world. And so This honors the death of those people that died that brought us into war with Japan. It doesn't glorify war, if that's what they're afraid of. It honors people. It honors service people.
And that's one of the issues. You can be anti-war, but this was an attack. This wasn't even, we weren't at war. These were men just sitting, you know, this was people, we were attacked, mm-hmm. and they died during an attack on the United States.
Well, the other thing, the thing that's so bizarre here is, I mean, just no matter what, is the fact that the mayor would say, well, we're just going to raise the flag to full staff. I don't care what the President of the United States said. I mean, that's an arrogance that's just unforgivable to me. I don't understand that.
And she has pointed out that she did not make this ruling. They gave her the power of the city ruling, but she's an attorney. I am sure she knows the city can't make a ruling that doesn't follow federal statutes. And federal statutes, I've read some things on a National Guard website, and it said more and more locals are deciding that they determine this. They can, if she wants to not lower a flag, if she wants to lower a flag to half staff for a council member, it's supposed to be the city flag. She does not have the power to determine the she is not in charge of the flag of the United States according to federal statutes. But again, she's an attorney. She keeps coming back with, I didn't start this, other council started this. Well, if it's not a correct action, you don't have to keep it going. But the other issue, did former councilmen or former mayors also not support those that died during wars against our country or with our country?
I mean, this is just distasteful, quite frankly. It's just really hard. I mean, as a veteran myself, I don't understand it. I don't get it. If it's an act of protest against war all these years later, can I say this, and I don't think a veteran will disagree with me. The people that are most anti-war are the people that have been to war. You know, we're the ones that want to see it go away more than anybody else in the whole wide world. If the mayor actually used this as some political statement of her own, I understand why. If you go to calcosnews.com, you look up this story, you'll see how many people were upset about it. I mean, they actually wrote into the blog, understandably so. I understand why they'd be that upset.
And I think that this may actually continue on as people. I have a feeling that tonight during the city council meeting, that there are going to be people asking why, what is going on here, and voicing their anger over this. But again, Jan Marks, well, first of all, she told me they didn't go to Canada for that reason. And I've heard that they're now saying that he was exempt from serving because he was a university teacher at the time, and they just went because they liked Canada. But in probably five different blogs that they have posted online, he exclaims that he didn't get his PhD and hadn't done the writing required of him, and they told him they were going to get rid of him. So, and that they became afraid that he was going to have to go to war, and they went to Canada. So, you know, they can say that now, but they put it in writing numerous times over the years. The couple has outlined their lives more than I don't know anyone else. In 2008, he probably posted five different things about fleeing to Canada. So there's not just one post. So this is not the thing from the reunion that, it makes it look like they went there. There are many other posts, video diaries. I mean, the couple has been very, very active in getting their life story up on the web.
Because?
I have no idea.
Oh.
There's a lot of people that wouldn't put some things that they did in their 20s that many people would look at and go, oh, my.
Right.
I mean, there are, I'm not even going to bring them up. There are things on there that if it came out pre-election, she would not be elected right now, along with photos.
Wow.
I was a little stunned as I read some of these things and some of the photos, and very odd. And, you know, everyone's done things they regret. I don't know anybody in this world that did not do something stupid in their 20s and maybe even older. And you look back. But are you posting it online along with pictures and discussing it? Usually not.
I'm just looking back at last week, so I know how you feel. Anyway, it's a very strange turn of events, and it'll be interesting what happens at the city council meeting and what people say. But more importantly, what's going to really matter is what Jan Marks does as far as responding to this. She's obviously ducking it already and saying, well, no, you don't know what you're talking about. And you know, we went to Canada just because we like the weather up there and et cetera. You know.
And as public officials go, I have had probably the worst luck with Jan Marks coming out with the same answer repeatedly. And when you have proof, she'll sometimes say, well, send the proof to me and then I'll respond. For example, We told her that we had information that she was a founding member of the group that was a fight against the Lydia. Oh, that's not true. That's not true at all. Never happened. Blah, blah. You know, big email back, you know, denying all of it. Emailed back and said, well, the FPPC did a lengthy investigation, and the investigation determined that you were one of the founding members, that the phone was in your name in the beginning, that this was in your name in the beginning, that you purchased the things they needed in the beginning. And she came back and said, well, could you fax me all the proof that you have so I can look over it? And I said, it's over 1,000 pages. No, I'm not going to fax it to you. You know, but it was just, you know, this is standard Jan Marks. And most public officials, if you ask a question such as is provable through documentation, they will usually admit to it right off the bat. This is highly unusual.
Well, the interesting thing is that you're going to have here is, and I understand it. I mean, I understand why it happens. The people that are sympathetic with Stephen Marks and his wife going to Canada to avoid the draft, there are people that are sympathetic to that idea because they either have done it they did it also, or they would have done it had they had the opportunity, if they had been drafted.
And I don't mind that they went either. I mean, this isn't about them going to Canada. This is about them going to Canada, and then is she letting her personal biases when she doesn't allow us to
honor
remembrance
Harbor,
of the victims of Pearl Harbor? Okay. Does that? That's the only reason it makes a difference. Them going to Pearl Harbor, fleeing to Canada for 18 years, really isn't a news story unless she's letting it affect her job as mayor.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I totally agree with that too. Anyway, I thank Karen for taking the time to come in here and sorting that out with us. I'll carry on without you and do the rest of CalCoastNews.com today. And then are you going to be in Friday?
Yes, I will be in Friday.
All right, madam. Well, thank you very much for showing up, and we will see you on Friday.
See you on Friday.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble. But I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least 1 in 4 businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room, talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and
when I first saw her, it was love at first.
And make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
When I first saw her, it was love at first sight. Man, was she gorgeous. I thought I'd found everything I ever dreamed of. But pretty quickly I realized that something was missing. Something just wasn't there. My beautiful, incredible, high-definition television would never be all that I hoped for without Charter HDTV service.
Give your high-def television everything it needs with Charter HDTV. You'll get the most amazing picture available, up to 5 times sharper than regular TV, all in theater-quality widescreen format. Call today to get Charter's superior HD programming, including local channels broadcast in HD. Only Charter makes it this easy to experience all that your HDTV is capable of, with no expensive equipment to buy.
Just one simple hookup, and my HDTV was all that I imagined. It may sound crazy, but I think Charter might be the one.
Complete your HDTV with HD service from Charter. Call 1-888-GET-CHARTER today.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
All right, CalCoastNews.com, your news station. We have more CalCoast news to share besides that revelation today. And let me get to it here as soon as I can click on this thing and do it. You're Bill Banger. This is Talk is Cheap, your friends and neighbors network on 1340 KYNS in San Luis Obispo. And it's currently right now 12:35. other revelations that come as somewhat of a surprise. One of the people accused of participating in the violent murder of Disney Myers was an informant for the Santa Maria Police Department Gang Suppression Unit, a detective testified on Monday. Ty Michael Hill is facing the death penalty, while his four co-defenders are facing murder charges in the 2010 murder of Myers. Santa Maria Police Detective Dan Cohen testified that he had dealt with Hill as a victim, an informant, and a suspect. Superior Court Judge Barry LaBarber declined Hill's defense attorney's Bill McLean's, McClellan's, numerous attempts to get the detectives to explain why he referred to Hill as a victim amid prosecutors' objections. Prosecutors also submitted Hill's rap sheet, which included 14 arrests. In the end, the judge denied all of McLennan's motions to suppress comments made by a co-defendant of Hill's, Cody Miller. In 2010, firefighters found the badly burned body of Myers in a shallow grave near Santa Margarita. She was 15 years old. She was found hogtied with her legs bound behind her, a glove stuffed in her mouth, one of her eyes plucked out, sweatpants tied around her throat, and her hands duct taped across her chest. Following the murder of Myers, Miller, 20, of Fresno, was digging a grave to place the body in when his former cohorts turned on him and began beating him in the face with a shovel. Miller escaped and was taken to a local hospital where he received facial surgery, had his jaw wired shut, and was treated for burns. At the time, Miller told firefighters and investigators that Hill had raped him with a baseball bat prior to that murder. And there's everything you ever wanted or didn't want to know about that whole darn thing right there. But it's not over yet. San Luis Obispo County Tourism Business Improvement District is asking the Board of Supervisors to purchase advertising in the U.S. Airways magazine promoting a coastal wine tasting route. The magazine spread will consist of 23-page feature on a CBID's Wine Coast Country Discovery route and will cost $80,500 or $3,500 a page. If approved by the supervisors on Tuesday's consent agenda, the advertisement would run in March of 2013. CBID's discovery route consists of 10 wine tasting destinations ranging from Ragged Point to Edna Valley. The route hugs the coast from Ragged Point to Oceano and does not include the Paso Robles wine region. The tourism district previously placed a 24-page feature in U.S. Airways magazine in April 2011, and it said that the magazine publishers proposed another advertisement after the launch of the Discovery Route campaign. U.S. Airways serves more than 3 million passengers a month and publishes more than 325,000 monthly magazines. You have to go out of your way to leave Paso Robles out, don't you? You have to dream up a way to leave Paso Robles out. Other news. Atascadero Councilman Jerry Clay, decided he wanted to fight back, but we'll give it one more shot. Atascadero City Councilman Jerry Clay, 78, chose not to run for re-election in November, is eyeing the seat to be left vacant in January when Councilman Tom O'Malley takes his position as mayor. With 2 years left on his council seat, O'Malley's ran unopposed for mayor. Clay decided not to run for another term on the council, which has set since 1996. Two incumbents, councilwomen Roberta Fonzi and Mayor Bob Kelly, were reelected. Now Clay says he would like council members to approve him to fill O'Malley's soon-to-be-vacated seat. Or to fill the seat, the council can nominate a person to fill the vacancy, determine an application process, or call for a special election, which is slated to cost between $35,000 and $85,000, which doesn't sound very likely, does it? So that's it. And so as of 12:39, you're up to the minute on CalcoastNews.com.
CalcoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Christmas is a perfect time for family reunions, for trimming the tree, and for exchanging gifts at holiday parties. It's also the time for Christmas carols. That's why we chose my favorite carol to sing for you now, one that expresses the beauty and the wonder of that starry night almost 2,000 years ago.
On a December afternoon, victims of Superstorm Sandy carried some of their most treasured possessions as they walked into a tent next to a church in the Rockaways.
Well, the photos I have here were all over the house, floating. We got them out of the basement in a colander.
People two doors down from me found some of my photos. They were on their front lawn.
This was in my dining room, 67 inches of water, and unfortunately it came off the wall and fell into that water.
An army of photographers and photo retouchers working here in New York and around the world are fixing the damage done by the storm, one photo at a time. I'm CNN's Steve Kastenbaum, and this is a project called Care for Sandy.
We are digitally repairing these photographs and restoring them to make them look like new, so that these negative memories from this unfortunate day are turned into happy ones again.
Untold thousands of photos were badly damaged. Kelly Lee feels compelled to fix them all. She founded this volunteer organization. CARE stands for Cherished Albums Restoration Effort. She was inspired to do this when she heard about two wedding photos that washed up on shore on Staten Island.
No one knew who they belonged to. Long story short, I tracked down the bride myself because my immediate thought in looking at these photographs was, wow, an hour or two and these could look good as new. I could restore these photographs myself.
Lee is a freelance creative director with a huge network of creative friends, many of whom are photographers and graphic artists. So she put out the call for help. Today, 4 weeks after she started, she has hundreds of volunteers from just about every state and 18 different countries restoring memories. Some have had parts of the image washed away. Others were dragged through the mud or scratched by sand.
One unusual aspect is that a lot of the photos we have encountered have been incredibly stinky. The water that they've been through is not necessarily clean, raw sewage. So a lot of them smell like they've been through the outhouse.
At CARE's first photo scanning event, she had to provide air fresheners. Volunteers applied Bengay beneath their noses to cover up the smell. But they kept coming back to do the work. People like Becky Munson.
I'm just blowing off any dust that's on the picture anyway, on the photo, so that firstly it doesn't damage the scanner because we've got so many photos to go through, and secondly it'll speed up things a tiny bit for the retouchers, and then just going to scan it and save it and get it ready to go online.
Once a damaged photo is uploaded to an online folder, another volunteer positioned anywhere around the world can choose to retouch that image and make it look like new again. Depending on the damage, it can take anywhere from a few hours to 3 months. Munson ran a similar volunteer program last year in Japan after that country was struck by a devastating tsunami. And she learned a lot from that experience.
You can never underestimate the most seemingly insignificant photo for someone, the memory it could hold for someone, and the just the value people put on their photos. And I don't think people realize that value until they lose them all.
As we spoke, she was working on photos that came from Liz Sullivan's home in Rockaway Park. Sullivan's first floor apartment was completely wiped out.
The wedding album and a few scattered pictures here and there of my children were destroyed.
Stuff that was hanging on the walls?
On the walls, sitting on the table, things of that nature.
She thought those photos were lost forever.
I was heartbroken. There's no way of retrieving them. I don't know where these photographers are. I'm married 30 years. My kids are 27 and 29. The professional photos that were sitting out were destroyed.
Some of the most important moments in your family's life?
Yes, these are the most important moments. For 3 weeks, I cried. I was throwing them away. I was upset, but I was throwing them away.
Then she heard about CARE for Sandy from a friend, and she rushed to get those pictures from the trash.
This is phenomenal that I wasn't even going to look for a service to do this.
You were going to throw away these memories?
I was, but thank goodness I saw the site and I called my husband and said, do not throw the photo box out. I need to go through it first.
Yeah.
What a wonderful, wonderful service they are doing for people.
To be able to help so many people, it's thrilling, and I feel exceptionally privileged.
But Kelly Lee isn't doing this just to make herself feel good.
These photographs are a reminder to never forget that this is an ongoing process, and these people still need our help and our warmth and our support.
Make your selections, hit scan, and standard encoding, okay, good to go, and you're scanning.
If you'd like to help, and you have experience in retouching photographs, you can get more information at careforsandy.org. Lee expects the work to last at least a year. Steve Kastenbaum, CNN, in the Rockaways.
They do have a wedding photo of a couple here that was pretty well screwed up, and they redid it. It's absolutely perfect. It's quite amazing. And we'll go back here right now. It's 11 minutes before 1. Tomorrow, I think we're just going to spend the whole minute of 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12 just in silence. Which is so happens now anyway, you know. So it's not really not going to notice anything different. But I think it's the last time something like that can happen for a long, long time. Is that right? Forever, right? Right. Well, until no, that's not true. Until 3,000. Well, no, that's not. Yeah. Until 3012. So that's a long time away. So let me tell you what happened today. What I did. I read it. I said, okay, I understand it, because I've been having a problem like that myself, but not as bad as this guy did. Here this man wrote, this is the business section, and this is Steve Alexander, does Tech Q&A. He said, spam is a gift no one wants. Recently, I've been unable to send emails from my home email address. In addition, my incoming mail contains several notices of undeliverable emails that I didn't send that are addressed to people I don't know. I suspect that my computer is infected by some malicious software that is being used to send spam email, and that these are undeliverable and are being returned. What should I do? And so this is what Steve said. I agree that your PC has been taken over by hackers and being used to send spam. The fact that you aren't able to send emails from your home account supports this theory. So here's the deal. I have no problem sending emails. That's not a problem. But I've been getting, and I have really, really good, I thought, Maybe this is the dumbest thing to say. I have really, really good antivirus software. Maybe not. Anyhow, so here's the, maybe I hadn't paid the bill. I don't know. Anyway, I am getting emails in one account that are things like FedEx has this tracking number for you, and it's and you know, you just can tell by looking at it, it's got nothing to do with you whatsoever. And so I just delete them immediately without opening them up. So here's what they said to do, though, because I thought, okay, well, if this is a fix, let's see what happens. So he says, I suggest you run a free download version of security program Malwarebytes, and it gives you the thing to go to. And then if that doesn't work, try Windows System Restore. But anyway, so I thought, okay, I'll try this malware affair. So I downloaded the malware. It did what it said it was going to do. It showed that four things were on my computer that didn't belong there. It got rid of them. Then you had to restart your computer. I go to restart my computer, and my computer freezes. It won't load. I'm like, what the? What, are you serious? And you have to understand something. I'm not very computer literate at all. I get by. Yes, one of those. I get by. Anyway, so I turned it off at the computer, which, of course, you're not supposed to do. Came back on. Did the same thing, and then had a message that had to do with a malware thing. I don't know what. It was some weird message I'd never seen before in my life about anything. So then I shut it down again, and just as soon as I was able to, before the malware program loaded on, you know, I clicked on programs and eliminated the program, and everything's been fine since. Except that's not true. All that's fine now, but this is really weird, and when Major Tom, the engineer, gets in today, I'll ask him what happened. Now, as far as I can tell, he fixed my laptop and got rid of that thing I told you had a virus yesterday. What is it around Christmas time? Is this when you get all these viruses? I don't know. I don't open stuff I normally don't open. I don't understand that, really. But here's what's really weird. My laptop was infected with some bad thing. And if you started using it, it was really screwy up. And guess what? Now my desktop computer has the same thing. So that means there's something that I'm running in common on these two computers that someone attached this to. And that's really making me wonder, because there's only so many things that I share with the two computers I have that I share. So it's not where, it obviously didn't come from where I thought it had come from, because I hadn't opened the program. I hadn't opened a search engine in my desktop computer that I did in my laptop computer looking for a song. I tell you, it's not easy being me today. I'm getting through it, though. I'll tell you that. Anyway, I thought I'd tell you that. Also, sharp lookout for credit card refunds. Some of the restitution for deceptive practices could be mistaken for junk mail. So here's what happens. You don't get a lot of money back, but somebody says, okay, you get a class action suit, you get a few bucks, and you click on here, and you say, okay, I'll join the class action suit. And you don't have to do anything else. They send you a check. I've gotten two checks recently in the mail from things I didn't even know what they were. But then I also got another thing that looked phony. Now, the two checks that I got that I cashed, they cashed fine. The one that didn't look phony, I didn't even take to the bank. I just shredded it. But anyway, so here, but they're saying to watch out for this thing, especially like on your computer, because, you know, you might think it's bogus, and it's not. So I'm telling you two different things today, as you can tell. So now I'm feeling like an idiot. Somewhere in the middle of this is happiness and joy. Where that is exactly, I'm not sure. All right. Apple gets a gentler core. Apple named Tim Cook as CEO in August of 2011. So my wife looked at this picture today of Tim and said, you know, they tried to find somebody that looked as much like Steve Jobs as they could. I think she was right about that. I think that's part of the whole deal. Anyway, so they're talking about bringing some of the stuff back to the United States and all that. Okay, so, and that has a lot to do with... It has to do with motherboards and things that have to do with the computers and things. I don't know. But anyway, they're able to do that. Mortgage managers, I might as well stay in the financial section today. Government report finds median pay for nearly 2,000 senior management. This is median pay at government-controlled Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac exceeded $200,000 last year. just in case you ever wonder where your tax bucks are going. Italy adds a new stress for the Eurozone. Until last weekend, Europe seemed headed for a quiet holiday. Then Italy's Prime Minister Mario Monti unexpectedly announced he was going to resign, pulling the plug on a government that had boosted confidence in the country's ability to manage its debts. Well, they just got to get somebody in there that knows what they're doing, I guess. Is that right now? And McDonald's, the stock market did well based on the fact that McDonald's had such good news. And the big news that McDonald's had was their CBO thing, their Cheddar Bacon Onion program. Has really worked in the last month. Now you can do that in your own home. You don't have to have McDonald's serve you some whatever it is and then put this stuff on there. You can actually do it yourself. I'm suggesting for a good time, call this number. All right. They have Mike Hoover as the general manager of Chicago Gray Landfill in Templeton, has a master's degree in geology from UC Santa Barbara. But the important thing is he had a Viewpoint article today about what it takes to recycle more. We recycle like crazy on the Central Coast. We really do well. We do much better than the national average. The average and every averages, we're good. And he says, but you know, you get to a point where all of a sudden, you know, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. Because, you know, you're actually increasing some other industrial, pollutant things in an effort to try to recycle more. And so he just said, you know, there has to be a balance in that. Some of it has to be buried. It's just that's the way it is. Until we come up with a giant flux capacitor. Right? And then that will be able to power an entire city. They'll just keep dumping the garbage in there. Cities, everything will be well lit, you know. That's a ways off, though, I think. Pretty sure about that. All right. Here's what somebody wrote here. Right here. ASH officials pay, too. In his December 5th letter, Why the Fines, Eric Schultz states that when the citations are issued to a Tascadero State Hospital, that those fines are paid by taxpayers. He also states that administrators are clearly not bothered by these fines because, after all, the money doesn't come out of their pockets. Well, actually, so this guy says, Michelle says, well, wait a minute. He's a taxpayer, too. The people that are there are taxpayers at ASH, and so it's coming out of their pocket. I have no doubt they're probably making a lot more money than a lot of other people and probably pay significantly more than you do. That's not the point. The point I made the other day was, in the private sector, when these things happen, the people are replaced. Sorry. Then here's another wild and crazy thing going on. Ken says, regarding a Texas secession, this November 27th letter, this guy has knowledge of American history needs a refresher. It is my understanding that in the agreement signed by the Texas territories that entered the U.S. as a state, there's a specific section that mutually grants Texas the right to secede from the Union. Specifically, the residents of Texas did not trust the overly dominant central government and want to ensure their state's rights as directed by the Constitution. So that's interesting. I don't know if it's true. I have no idea. I had a chance to look it up. But that's interesting. I'm big on interesting. I go for that. Anything that's interesting, I'll go for it. I don't mean I agree with it. I just say I'm go for it. All right. And then Marvin Sozna. And Marvin Sozna, if I'm not mistaken, used to write anytime we had a concert, you know, what do you call it, classical music thing, he would write the review to it. And I marveled at what he could come up with over a piece of music. I had no notion that you could come up with all the adjectives and superlatives and everything else to describe something. But he was very good at it. Anyway, so he basically said The Wizard of Oz down at PCPA is a grand performance, and you should see it. I think it goes through the 26th of December. I think that's the last date, something like that. Anyway, you can look it up on the internet, pcpa.org, and see if you can go see it. All right, because they do a great job all the time. And was there anything else, sir? I'll read the headline to the letter. Misplaced priorities. All right. Really? Us? I can't imagine that. I really don't see where that's going to happen.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The governor of Michigan, Republican Rick Snyder, says he will sign the law to make his the 24th to be a right-to-work state where closed union shops will go away.
Auto workers, teachers, electricians, and other union members marching around the Michigan State Capitol and trying to block entrances of a state office building. Many never expected to see this day.
It's an outrage that Michigan, that was the heart of the beginning of the labor movement with the Flint sit-downs and so much struggle, would come to this.
For the most part, the big crowd was orderly, but there were still a Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Lansing, Michigan.
That was some fireball from the explosion of a gas main north of Charleston, West Virginia.
When I looked out the breezeway, I could see the flames over the hill. They were shooting probably 200, 400 feet in the air.
Rita Cummings lives in Sissonville, where several buildings burned and a mile of Interstate 77 had to be shut down in both directions for a while.
The ornaments on the tree, my pictures rattled, everything, and then it sounded, I mean, you almost like the end of the world.
A federal appeals court has struck down the Illinois law that banned carrying concealed weapons. The law was challenged by a former corrections officer. The Seventh Circuit gave the state 180 days to write a new law that legalizes concealed carry. The Air Force has sent its little space plane on another secret mission.
5, 4, 3. We have ignition.
It's the second flight of the original X-37B, which looks like a little space shuttle. Its pickup truck-sized payload bay has secret cargo believed related to spying from space from 200 miles or so overhead. The suspensions have been overturned for four current and former Saints football players in the bounty scandal. WWL's Dave Cohen is in New Orleans.
This ruling doesn't clear the players of wrongdoing, but it does remove any penalties against them.
While it vacates the suspensions, it does say that the former commissioner, Ty Glabue, did find that there was conduct detrimental.
Tulane sports law professor Gabe Feldman says the decision essentially finds that the coaches were the ones running the scheme to pay players to hurt opponents, and the players got caught up in it. He says what made it worse for the coaches was the attempt to cover it up after the NFL told them to cut it out.
So it was not only the underlying conduct, but the cover-up of the underlying conduct.
Paul Tagliabue also said the league could bring fines against the players. A new report finds a record 232 journalists are in prisons around the world, mostly jailed while doing their jobs. The Committee to Protect Journalists says Turkey leads the list with 49 reporters in jail. Charges brought by various countries range from terrorism to treason and subversion. Right behind Turkey is Iran and China. On Wall Street, the Dow up 74 points, NASDAQ gained about 33. This is CBS News.
The Home Depot Project Loan is a simple way to put big projects within reach. You not only get no payments and no interest for 6 months, you also get the flexibility of paying it off anytime. So whether it's new flooring or a whole new kitchen, the project loan makes it easy and we make it possible. Get started now. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details.
Because Susan switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her retirement account wants to bake her a chocolate cake. But it can't. It's a retirement account. It doesn't have the upper body strength to lift a cake pan into an oven. Switch to Geico, and every time you see the savings, you'll know your retirement account wants to bake you a chocolate cake. But remember, it can't. It's a retirement account. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Researchers say effectively fighting diabetes can help a lot of people see better.
Jerry Fishman's diabetes swelled his retina so much.
It was becoming almost impossible for me to see anything clearly.
His Johns Hopkins doctor, David Friedman, is co-author of a new study in the Journal of the American Medical Association showing a sharp rise in visual impairment not due to a need for glasses.
It's increased by about 20% over the last 6 or 7 years.
Double that among adults under age 40. And this study blames a sharp rise in diabetes, and that's linked to obesity. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
Fewer Americans are getting that milk mustache these days. Since 1975, U.S. milk consumption is down about 30%. At the same time, consumption of yogurt, cheese, and other dairy products have gone up. The Department of Agriculture blames bottled waters, particularly flavored waters and energy drinks, for luring a lot of young people who would otherwise be drinking their milk. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
What's your New Year's resolution? If your answer involves getting your finances in order, why wait till the new year? That's a resolution that deserves your attention today. Hey, everybody, Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. A great way to shape up your finances for the new year is our exclusive Yorgage. A Quicken Loans Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to select a term that's best for your budget, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. Our 8,000-plus team members are dedicated to guiding you to the best mortgage decision with certainty. The rate today on an 8-year fixed Yorgage is an incredible 2.75%, APR 3.43%. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call Quicken Loans right now at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for additional cost information. Other restrictions may apply. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing. Wine. We're the state with the most millionaires. The most nonconformists. The most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
Busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you hear
silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling,
ring-a-ling,
hear them ring,
hear them ring.
Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Strings of street lights, even stoplights, blink a bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasures. Hear the snow crush, see the kids rush. This is Santa's big day, and above all this bustle, you silver bells.
The corner Santa Claus.
Silver bells.
Is busy now because
it's Christmas time in the city.
Ring-a-ling.
It fills the winter air.
Hear them ring.
You hear it everywhere.
Soon it will be Christmas Day. City sidewalks.
Silver bells.
Busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, babies smile after smile. Children laughing, people passing, babies smile after smile. Very soon it will be Christmas Day.
Ah, darn pretty is that? All right, right there, silver bells. It's 10 minutes exactly after the hour of 1. You're at Bill Banker Talk, his Cheap Friends and Neighbors Network. Now, the weather wasn't says, and John Lindsay, and his thesis, he was weather was about it. John Lindsay says, here's the deal. Tomorrow, rain. Thursday, rain. Friday, rain. Wait. I don't know what that is. Friday, what was that?
My plug.
What is it? I don't even know what that is. Wait a second. Let me find out what that is. Friday rain. Saturday, because you're going to go to the open house. I know you're going to go at Slowest to Coffee, so you can see how things are done out there. Okay, so that's going to be the next day out there. So then this is what's happening. And then at Slow Roasted Coffee. And then Sunday it's supposed to rain again. And then maybe Monday. Well, we're gonna hear from the politicos here in a moment. See what they got to say about what's going on with things. There was something else I was gonna share with you first, however, before we get to that. Let me get to this. And that is let me get rid of that. Okay, you know who's been in the news a lot lately, and this is this young lady that was killed in a plane crash. I think I have a story somewhere about the fact the plane had crashed before. Anyway, I got to find that out. But anyway, so this is she's Jenny Rivera. She was 43 years old. She was a grandmother of five. She's a mother of five, grandmother of two, and she was 43 years old. Okay, and then so she had sold more than 15 million copies of her 12 major label albums, won a string of Latin music awards, etc. She was in the process of divorcing her third husband. Anyway, so there was a thing. So I thought to myself, well, because we're talking about this person that's not somebody I was familiar with at all, this Jenny person, Revere, I thought we'd get to know her by a little of her music.
Cierrame las puertas en la cara, pásame con otra por enfrente, grítame que no con la mirada, para ver si dejo de quererte. Vuélveme a decir que no me quieres, para que me quede bien clarito, para ver si en todas las paredes dejo de escribir, te necesito.
I just sampled, I thought we'd share a little sample. Oh, wait.
Que aunque llore, te pida y te implore, no vas a volver.
I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know if that's the chorus right there or what it is. But anyway, I thought we'd share a little bit of what her music was all about. And we have. That was Jenny Rivera, and she's a leftist. I'll see if I can find the story somewhere here about the plane thing. I'll look it up. Here's the thing, though. Here's a story we're going to share now. Because, you know, we've got the fiscal cliff thing. The fiscal cliff thing we're all sitting here looking at, which we decided was not actually, we call this the fiscal stonewall in here on Talk is Cheap, the Friends and Neighbors Network. But anyway, let's see what else. Let's see what the latest is today.
What the president's trying to achieve on the top two tax rates, he can get by doing nothing. I mean, the law is certainly stacked in his favor. The point that we've all made repeatedly is that you can't solve this problem. We now have a debt the size of our economy. You can't solve America's problem. You can't leave the kind of country behind for our children and grandchildren that our parents left behind for us until you make the entitlement programs meet the demographics of our country. We've known that for years. When are we ever going to make those kinds of decisions? You know, we tried to get the president to do it last year. We now have another opportunity here at the end of the year to try to engage that discussion again. We'll have another opportunity later when the debt ceiling issue arrives. When are we going to make this decision? That's our question. This whole discussion, and admittedly, the president has some advantages being one messenger. You'd think this whole discussion was about nothing other than raising the top two tax rates. That, as we pointed out, has little or nothing to do with solving the problem. And I been waiting for the president to become serious about solving the problem. So I don't know when he's going to become serious, but it sounds to me like we're running out of time. And we'll take our cues from the speaker as to when if they're able to reach some kind of agreement.
It's actually kind of cute. There's a gang hanging around there, so they get in the film. They like to be part of. Okay, other things are going on. We have a little thing I'm going to share with you here in just a little bit, and it has to do with a former Navy SEAL's reaction to war, and et cetera, and PTSD and all that kind of stuff. Because that's, I think it's, you know, we talked to Karen Bailey today about war, and what it means to the people that were in it. All right, other things going on in our world, other things that have happened. I think I covered all that. Did I get all these things? Misplaced priorities. We have a full-blown methamphetamine and heroin problem that seems to be ignored, and homeless that are harassed, and yet the focus on cigarettes and tobacco stings. Town of Santa Margarita is less than 1 mile square. We have 8 places to sell alcohol, yet they do not allow one marijuana dispensary in the county. What's with that? That's what this person's basically saying. What's with that? So I don't know. And then while Barbara wrote this from Los Osos, she said, while energy independence and national security are frequently held up as the American public as the goals of our energy production, keep your eye on the ball. When it comes to fossil fuels, there are two other driving factors. One recently promoted in a report by NERA is the increased in export revenues from selling natural gas abroad. The other, so obvious, is higher profits to corporations from selling in countries where prices are higher. Before the Energy Department throws its support behind increased exports, we all need to be fully informed on the long-term environmental costs. Do we want to endanger our environment by supporting fracking for natural gas and mountaintop removal for coal, both done to increase the exports and profits, not national security and energy independence? What price do you put on clean water and clean air? I think there's a lot of us that are scratching our head going, you know, that we're now this huge exporter of natural gas and coal and stuff, and yet we're kind of behind the eight ball. So it's kind of like, well, what the heck's going on? And that's what's going on. All right. Then there was an editorial in the paper about this STEAM thing, which is science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, that they want to put into the junior high out in Los Osos. And Baywood Monarch Grove Elementary Schools, they want to take the sixth graders and push them ahead. And so this is weird. It's like they have an argument with themselves when they wrote this editorial. They say, I think we're moving too fast on this, but it's a great idea. I think we're moving too fast on this, but it would really help the students. I think we're moving too fast. I didn't understand the whole thing, so I don't say. All right. So we will, we're going to join a former Navy SEAL and find out what HIMSS has to say about life its own self.
And in one day, very monumental, we had several killed over in Afghanistan. And when those bodies came back, there's some backside story things that happen. And one of those backside stories is I had to be with another officer where we had to open up what were pieces and parts of the remains of two brave officers who I respected very much to inventory some potential classified material that could be still on the remains. And so we had to sort through the remains, the decaying remains, and the equipment, and sort all that out. And so there was the stench of decomposing bodies, fuel, the smell of combat, and I had to lay those out and set my personal feelings aside. But the smells of that went straight to my brain, the core of my brain. And the water passed over that last wall, and I knew I was going down. I just hugged those guys just a couple months before, told them I loved them, proud of them. Do well, lead your men well, lead with honor. And then I was there with a part of them, sorting through those remains and the odors that come from that, and the trauma of seeing something that's not recognizable, that was someone who you highly respected and cared for.
Mark Waddell, a former retired Navy SEAL. And I'm afraid I have to say I know of which he speaks. Well, all right, other things that are going on. I got to see if I can find this story for us. I'm all over the place trying to find news in the morning. I got to see if I can find it where they had the thing about this lady's airplane. And what's up with that? You know, what's up with that? I think I have it right here. Okay, let me see. No, that was him. Icky. I'm almost sure this is where I saw it. Give me a moment. There we go. Remains found at the crash site. But that's not, we knew that. I'll have to see if I can find it later on. Oh, here it is. This is it here. Revere's plane had crashed before, so we'll probably get a commercial first, but that's okay. And we'll find out what they have to say on CNN about that. So, I mean, how can you fly a plane that's been crashed before? I mean, how bad was it crashed? I'm not sure. Leaves a lot to the imagination, I suppose.
The Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer. Weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on CNN.
There's Wolf now.
Early Sunday morning, minutes after takeoff, the Nevada-based Learjet 25 crashed in a remote, mountainous area of northern Mexico. It was headed to Mexico City, but crashed 70 miles south of Monterrey. All seven on board died. Personal items, including Jenny Rivera's driver's license, were found in the wreckage. NTSB investigators are assisting the Mexican government to determine what happened. 7 years ago, this same plane was involved in an accident after the pilot lost ability to steer during landing in Amarillo, Texas. The NTSB report at the time said the plane was substantially damaged.
And the fact that it had an accident a few years ago, I'm sure will be a focus. They'll make sure that the maintenance records and the repair records are all looked at carefully. These airplanes can be repaired after substantial damage.
John McGraw is a former deputy director of flight standards for the FAA. The plane was built in 1969, making it 43 years old.
Age itself is not an indicator of the safety of the airplane. Even the older airplanes have to meet all the safety standards that are in place for the airplanes in operation today.
As investigators piece together what happened, fans are left with this photo, taken minutes before takeoff, and a message from those on board. The caption reads, "Los amo." It means, I love you all.
Of course, investigators will be looking at the aircraft's instruments and if it had flight data recorders. There were no major thunderstorms at the time during that crash, but the mountainous region where the wreckage is located could really make things more difficult during this investigation. And Wolf, we're told it could take days for investigators to really gather the evidence they need for this crash.
All right, so that's what we know. What we know, because we were in the Situation Room with the Wolfman. All right, that's what happened there. All right, let's see what else we got going on. Let's see what else we're going to find out about. Well, we'll get to this story because this has always been fascinating to a lot of people. This is who was the real Mona Lisa? Yeah, was it someone he was having an affair with? Maybe it was a cleaning woman. Or both. Hey, there's no way to it. I will find out. Other things in the news, though. End is a long time coming. Here they're starting to tear down. I can't imagine why it would have taken, since the end of the Second World War to do this. But they're tearing down the barracks at Camp Roberts and tearing down the old World War II barracks. And I think they thoroughly went through them first because remember they were talking about finding different things, personal possessions and diaries and all kinds of weird stuff. And then other things they thought the reason they found them was because somebody stole them from somebody else and stuck them up there. I know you say to yourself, you don't have crime in the service, do you? Yeah. So that's what's going on with that. Now, here was the thing that you probably weren't really happy to hear about, and that's the cell phone apps are tracking your kids, a report says. Among 400 of the most popular children's apps available, one-fifth disclose data collection practices. One-fifth. So they're collecting data on your child, and you don't know it, they don't know it, but that's what's going on, which is interesting because where was it? They had a statistic on television today that, let me make sure I get this number right, 39% of the fish that's sold in New York City is not what they're claiming it is. There you go. And 89% of the sushi was not what they said it was. I know you were thinking about, I don't know if I really should eat sushi or not. I know you're thinking that, because that's just, yeah, everybody thinks that. But that's what happens right there. They had an opinion thing on the disc jockeys again today, you know, that pulled that prank that eventually led to this woman's death. And the people that were being commenting basically sort of agreed with me yesterday. They said, but here's the danger, they said. What you don't know is you don't know the emotional stability of somebody when you're doing a prank call. You know, like, and then, you know, they've been going on forever, of course, and they acknowledge that, and they'll still go on forever. And but the problem is you don't know the mental stability of people that are taking a call. Then the other side of that is you would think that if you called a hospital and you got hold of a nurse and said, "Can we find out something?" She says, "Well, let me get another nurse." You'd think to yourself, you know, if that person is working in a hospital and everything, you know, how could they have been that thrown by that? You still ask yourself that. I do. Alicia Keys is cutting her hair off. I wouldn't know Alicia Keys if she stepped through the door right now. But anyway, she's got a shorter hairdo, and then she might shave it. Natalie Portman did. Christy, Michelle, Kelly Picker. They forget to mention way back when. Now, what was the name of that crazy woman that got in trouble with it, didn't like the Pope? I can't think of it. It's not coming to me. Of course, names don't come to me anyway. I can see her. I can picture her. I can see her right now with her bald head. Anyway, she did a long time ago. And a lot of the people in the service, not by choice, look the same. All right. Other people in the news. Former Mayor Ed Koch has been released from a Manhattan hospital. Koch looked jovial as he spoke briefly outside the hospital. He was admitted last week with pneumonia and the flu. Boy, he's lucky he got through that all right. He's looking forward to celebrating his 88th birthday tomorrow, 12-12. So, good for him. I'm glad he got through that. That's a tough thing to get through at that age. All right. I'm not going to get into the whole thing. It's too long. But Lon Allen was reminiscing about a little bit of history in Tascadero, and that was the North County Christian Thrift Store and all the things that had been was being torn down and all the things that had been. So here we have, not only do we have rain bearing down the country right here, it says cold, cold. John says cold is bearing down on us, too. It's going to be 10 to 15 degrees cooler than today's highs. And this morning was really kind of chilly, wasn't it? I was chilly. I had a hard time warming up today. Anyway, and that's where there's a bit more rain can be expected. Anyway, so that's what they're saying. Friday, let's see, Thursday before clearing skies return, Friday or Saturday. So now it's changed. Originally, when they said this, it was going to be the weekend was going to be clear, but now they're saying just Saturday might be clear, and Sunday looks like it's going to rain again. But we're not, you know, who knows? Okay. Here was another panga bust, but this wasn't drugs this time. This was illegal immigrants down in L.A., and this was near the Portuguese Bend Beach near Rancho Palos Verdes. 25 people were captured after they all fled. Must be a cause and effect to all that. I'm not sure what it is. What's your emergency? You know, I'm going to reiterate this because I said it when they first started doing this. New Times is the first one that started doing it, and then the Tribune picked up on it and they started doing it. You know, what's your emergency? At first, I thought, well, this is I don't know the point of this, you know. And but then it really began to dawn on me more and more with some of the things I read in this "What's Your Emergency" thing, is when people say to themselves, "Where's a cop when you need him?" Chasing after these foolish things that people do and come up with and say and think. It's amazing to me. It's absolutely amazing to me. It's Paper Sky takes down the first place in the Downtown Association's Decoratum Contest. So they had a big contest downtown San Luis Obispo, and that's who won. They had, let's see, People's Choice Award went to Cal Poly downtown. The Shoe Boutique Romp also earned an honorable mention. So there was, you know, it wasn't like it wasn't for anything. They didn't win anything, but they didn't. Well, you know, Anyway.
Hi, this is Michael Morin with Lenny and Gertie, the diagnostic duo. I don't know about you, but I got so sick of hearing campaign ads in November that I'm glad Christmas came before Thanksgiving this year. At least the ads are positive and homey, even if we had just put our Halloween costumes away. Here at Morin Brothers, we like to begin the holidays early too, but we do that by encouraging our customers to bring their cars in long before they take that trip to Grandma's. When you bring your car in for service, we always look it over as if you were planning a trip, but around the holidays, especially if we have cold and rainy weather, we give it even more attention than usual. Things that you might take for granted, like battery, antifreeze, belts and hoses, lights, get a good look over. We air up the tires and check the wipers and have a look at the brakes. Lenny and Gertie and the technicians at Morin Brothers Automotive want you to get where you're going and get back without any drama. So heave a sigh of relief, the election's over, and welcome the holidays with good cheer.
Bring a donation for the food bank and take 10% off your service. Visit Morin Brothers Automotive, 4090 Broad Street. Look for the building with the green metal woof.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again, together, if the fates allow. Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a
tomorrow. We'll be back at Talk of Sheep. It's 1:33 right now as we do our Christmas season. We're counting down. Really, we only got a couple weeks. Well, yowzer. It's all coming crashing down. It's all coming to a big end. And then what do we put up? Oh, Valentine's Day. So the day after Christmas, we'll be having sales on Christmas things, and then we'll have Valentine's Day stuff starting to go into the stores. Okay. Well, we want to try to stay on top of it if we can because, you know, it's important. Other things going on. Oh, let me see if I can get to this story for us that has to do with the let me get it right here. Oh, who was the real Mona Lisa? I wanted to kind of get into that story and see if we can find out about that. Because, yeah. Do they know for sure? We're going to find out. I have no idea. I haven't heard the story.
Leonardo da Vinci's priceless masterpiece, the Mona Lisa, or La Gioconda. In the frigid bowels of what was once a convent in Florence, television producer turned art researcher Silvano Vincetti is leading a project to find and identify the remains of the woman who posed for da Vinci more than 500 years ago. Historical documents seem to indicate that this is the place where Lisa Gherardini, otherwise known as Mona Lisa, was buried. Beyond that, it's all a mystery. The remains of five females have been found here. This skull may be that of Lisa Gherardini, the second wife of a wealthy Florence silk merchant. The remains will be compared with the DNA of two relatives buried elsewhere. No other likeness of her has ever been found, and given that Da Vinci spent years working on the painting, it's possible the real Lisa Gherardini bears no resemblance to the Mona Lisa.
Ricostruiamo il viso con un errore che va dal 2 all'8%.
Once we identify the remains, Vincetti tells me, we can reconstruct the face with a margin of error of 2 to 8%. By doing this, we'll finally be able to answer the question the art historians can't. Who was the model for Leonardo?
Possiamo finalmente dare una risposta.
The smile, on the other hand, will probably remain a mystery. Vincetti claims scientific analysis suggests the smile came later.
Quando Leonardo iniziò con la modella che era di fronte,
when, he says, Leonardo began painting the model in front of him, he didn't draw that metaphysical, ironic, poignant, elusive smile, but rather he painted a person who was dark and depressed.
Ripropose una persona malinconica e cupa.
The smile, Vincetti and others have suggested, may belong to Da Vinci's longtime assistant and some believe lover, Gian Giacomo Caprotti. While other art historians claim the painting was actually a surreptitious self-portrait. So we may never know if the smile was, as Nat King Cole sang, to tempt a lover or simply to confound humanity. Ben Wiedemann, CNN, Florence, Italy.
Well, there you go. It's confounded me, I'll tell you, that we spend this much time worrying about it, wondering. Yeah, it's nice painting and everything. Okay. Somebody, I mean, here they had a Nat King Cole, you know, Mona Lisa, and they said it could have anything to do with, well, you know, what we heard about in that. And I would think, well, probably not hardly at all, you know, because that was just written not that long ago. But, you know, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. Once. So I was going to tell you about, it's always my pleasure, too, to tell you about Idler Sleep Center, because they got a great location right there at 189 Cross Street, Short Street, and they're right in the corner. You two streets come together when you turn off of Tank Farm Road, or you come out to Trader Joe's, and you make a left, and you go onto Tank Farm Road. They're right there in that corner, and they're there. And they have a very nice showroom. It's very relaxing. It's very nice, and they have lots of Mattry in there. And so you go in, and you see Cody or Juniper, and you say, I need to sack out, see what's going on. And then they'll probably say, do you want to look at Tempur-Pedic? Because Tempur-Pedic is the most popular mattress in the world right now. And so that makes sense, you know what I mean? Or you might say, no, I want to try, Bill mentioned Sealy Optimum. I want to try a Sealy Optimum. Oh, okay. Or Beautyrest or Posturepedic, whatever it is you want to try. I mean, it's years you're doing the snoozing. All right. But they got lots of them, and the good news is with some of the mattresses, they're affiliated with BrandSource, so they buy in quantity, and that helps out. And then if you go to Tempur-Pedic, they've been recommended by Good Housekeeping, Consumers Digest, Best Buy, the Arthritis Foundation have all said, you should try one of these. This is what's going on. And they have many different styles. They have different firmnesses. You cannot not find a bed at Idler's, and they've been doing business since 1954 in San Luis Obispo, and the Idler family's been right there, top of the heap. So I would go to Idler's. If I buy a new sleep set, I'll go to Idler's. I will. And my wife is hinting that she might like a somewhat larger bed, perhaps because I'm expanding my body because of gravity, mind you, as it's starting to expand and take up more of the bed. I'm just guessing. Could be something else. Idler's Sleep Shop. Go to and see them at Idler's and take care of your sleeping. All right. 20 minutes before the hour of 2 right now. I'm going to throw a little sports stuff in here. San Jose State coach Mike McIntyre, who led his team to the December 27th Military Bowl against Bowling Green, will quadruple his salary by becoming the new head coach of Colorado. I have to confess to you, because I'm not that smart. I didn't realize that they would pay a college coach $2 million a year. That's one of those sticker shock things to me. But he's going to get $10 million for a 5-year contract. Whew. Now, don't tell me about sports and athletes and, you know, studying and money-making and all that kind of stuff. That pretty much tells you where that mouth flops. Brady and the Patriots were just absolutely amazing last night against the Houston Texans. They were good. Now, here's a weird thing. 49ers suspend running back. This guy's name is Brandon Jacobs. He's on social things. He's been tweeting and twattering and writing that they're not using him enough. You know, he's really torqued off with the 49ers. He's an athlete. He's competitive. He wants to play more because he hasn't played hardly at all. So what they did, they suspend him for the last three games. Well, you're just about to play less, if you know what I'm saying. And Dodgers signed this Korean pitcher. Let me see if I can take a running shot at his name because I haven't heard it. Ryu Won Yin. Okay, does that sound anything, like anything you've ever heard? Yeah, me neither. That sounds like something you'd order on a menu. But anyway, so that's the flush with cash after the team sale last year. The Dodgers are busy spending on starting pitching, so there we go. So that's good. And then NHL has canceled games through December 30th, and I'll miss those, I can tell you that. Okay. I'll miss those. Big time. That's big time. Let's see what we may have missed here, because I like to always try to keep us up to date on what the heck's going on in every aspect of our lives, in every facet, in everything. That's be it funny, be it weird, be it whatever it is. I don't want to see. Okay, here's what they have. Here's what they have. Drastic plastic surgeries. No, I don't want to. I don't want to see that. I don't even want to know about it. Here's a woman who looks totally ridiculous. Well, this one does too, and this one. And this kid up here, this guy became, he wanted to look like Ken. Can I tell you the truth? How many surgeries did he have? I think if they said he had 90 surgeries, I read somewhere. He still doesn't look like Ken. Yeah, you could Bob or Jim or Fred or whatever you want to call him, but he doesn't look like Ken, as in Ken and Barbie. I'm just telling you, right? I'm just telling you. I don't care what they say. All right. Let me see if we can do a... Oh, here's the wacky world of Genie Moves. One of the things that you may have seen on TV was this dog that drives a car by itself. It's in England. It's in England, I think it is. Yeah. And they taught the dog how to drive a car. And it's kind of, like, really weird. Yeah. So, but here we have the lost monkey that roams IKEA. It actually does some of the packaging, I'm convinced. But I'm not sure. Anyway, it might write some of the instructions. It's hard to say. But we're going to find out about the happy monkey here in just a few seconds. All right, and then what else is going on? They had a funny one here on CNN.com about the skydiving cats cause an uproar because they've made it look like cats are skydiving. They're not. They just look like it for commercials in Europe.
You go.
Come on, Gene. Go on. Go. Go on. There's nothing.
Go to IKEA expecting cheap furniture, not expensively dressed monkeys.
This is so bizarre. What, like, why is there a monkey at IKEA?
There he was, running around outside an entrance at a Toronto IKEA in an outfit that freaked everyone out.
It's definitely faux fur. It's not a shearling. It's like a faux shearling.
Double-breasted, no less. The tweets started to fly. Anyone lose their monkey at IKEA? Well, actually, yeah. The owner was shopping inside the store when the monkey managed to get out of his crate and then out of the car.
All the people were trying to, like, call it towards them, but it was very scared. It was darting all over the place. They're trying to get it away from cars.
His diaper only detracted a little from what was later described as his favorite jacket. We asked Stylist to the Stars, Robert Verdi, to critique the look.
How stylish is Simeon Izzy?
I thought for a second that it was an editor that I've seen at Fashion Week.
Okay, it wasn't quite as formal as the red carpet outfit worn by the primate star of Hangover Part 2. But who dresses up to shop at IKEA? Animal control folks eventually captured the 7-month-old primate. Unfortunately for the monkey's owner, this shopping trip ended with a no-return policy. Because monkeys are prohibited as pets, the owner was fined $240 and had to permanently hand over the little guy, identified as Darwin. He stayed briefly at Toronto Animal Services.
He's not very happy right now. He's having kind of a bad day.
Separation anxiety. He was moved to an Ontario primate sanctuary, where it's hoped Darwin will live happily ever after. But his name will live on as IKEA Monkey. He instantly acquired parody Twitter accounts describing him as lover of fashion. A Connie Stevens song was dedicated to him.
I will wait for you.
Some speculated he headed for IKEA in search of Swedish meatballs. His image was inserted in an ad for IKEA bedroom furniture. As for the jacket,
I bet you it's going to start a trend, and we'll be able to find a version of it at H&M next week.
Now that's evolution. Jeannie Mo, CNN, New York.
I'm still not sure why they took the monkey away from its owner, so it got out of the crate and wandered around a little bit. Monkeys will do that. I mean, it had banana breath, but nobody cared. I'm not sure I get that. That's what happened to the old monkey. Let's find out what happens to me now. Let's find out what else is going on, and what's happening to us is actually who it is. We did the panga boat. We did that. A judge is listening to a legal challenge to the filibuster and saying maybe that's not even legal, a filibuster in Washington. Maybe we'll find out. Not sure. I don't know why this is like old news, but it's here again, and it says the Syria rebel group is tied to Al-Qaeda, which we already knew that. You know, we knew that, but that was the case. But anyway, that's what they say. So that's just complicated things real big time, you know, for everybody involved. It's thrown a wrench in the works. I'm not going to go through all these numbers, but they were absolutely impressive and fascinating. Highway figures lowest since 49 for California, and this is the lowest number of traffic deaths we've had since 1949. The ones that we have had, of course, are tragic and terrible. Please understand. But the fact that we're doing better. But here's what they say. It might be just be economic is one of the reasons. You know, people drove less. I know I drove less. Somebody said, you want to go do this? And I said to myself, let me see how much gas I have to use to do that. So I drove less. I know a lot of people, other people did too. So we just, we didn't drive as much. And that might have, you know, certainly contributed to that. Bicycle deaths, I'll give you a number. They rose 8% to 677. Pedestrian deaths jumped from 3% to, 4,432 people die as pedestrians. And unfortunately, a number of those have been in our own county recently. So anyway, but things are good. No one's retreating from the cliff. Oh, we talked about that. Okay, never mind. Public not happy with many of the proposals. House group calls for cuts to the military. Here's what someone said. And this is a little bit hard to understand exactly these terms because we don't really know this is what's going to happen. But this was a letter signed by Representative Barney Frank of Massachusetts and Mick Mulvaney of South Carolina. It says, as we transition from wartime to peacetime and as we confront our nation's fiscal challenges, future defense budget, et cetera, what are you saying? What exactly are you saying? We think we're going to transition into a peacetime situation, but the way things are going, we don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen. We'd like to. But it doesn't mean we're going to. All right, we got one more story to share.
Time for the ridiculous. And tonight there's a brand new product. It's a dream come true. Well, it's a dream come true if you're Canadian and you dream of walking around smelling like the inside of a Pizza Hut. Yes, the good people of the think tank known as Pizza Hut Canada have come up with a limited edition run of Pizza Hut perfume. The bad news is they only made 110 bottles and gave them away to some of their Facebook fans, so you can't just run out and buy it. Oh, Pizza Hut Canada, you mercurial mistress, why must you tease us so? They're not ruling out a larger run of Pizza Hut perfume in the future, by the way, but for now, we'll just have to go old school, improvise a little. I find that a few heaping tablespoons of pepperoni grease behind the ears it's a pretty decent workaround. I gotta say, Pizza Hut Canada has quite the brain trust going because this is the same company that recently offered this limited edition crust. Because who hasn't gotten to the end of a slice of pizza and said, I feel like something is missing, and I'm pretty sure that something is a hot dog? Now, I can almost hear the scoffing, but come on. Pizza perfume, meat cologne, the fragrance industry is edgy, people. Have you seen the Brad Pitt commercials for Chanel No. 5?
It's not a journey.
Every journey ends, but we go on. The world turns and we turn with it. Plans disappear. Dreams take over.
What? What? Brad Pitt should totally do the pizza perfume commercials. It's not a pizza. It's a slice of a dream wrapped in a riddle around a hot dog. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno. Although Chanel probably would not go for it, and frankly, I wouldn't want to confuse Conan O'Brien more than he already is.
I watched it again today, and I have to say, it's even stranger than I remembered it from the first time.
It's not a journey. Every journey ends, but we go on. The world turns and we turn with it.
The point is, every perfume needs a celebrity spokesman. If Brad Pitt isn't available, I say Peace Out should do whatever it takes to get Kristen Wiig.
She knows exactly where to go, exactly what to do, and all her friends are dudes.
Red flag.
She's exquisite, but she also lived in Vegas for 11 years.
Red flag.
She's funny, but not funny like ha-ha. Funny like yikes.
Red flag.
I've said it before, I will say it again, Kristen Wiig is a genius. Now, look, I generally shy away from telling fast food restaurants how to run their perfume business. As a principle, as a rule. But Pizza Hut Canada, come on, get your act together. Get a celebrity, throw together some commercials, and let's get this in the stores as soon as possible, because I got some Christmas shopping to do.
I think it's funny. I think it's good. I liked it. All right, let's clear out some of this stuff that we're not using here. Some of these things that are just taking up space and causing problems there. All right, close that tab. Close that. Hi, you're Bill Beck at Talkers Cheap Friends and Neighbors Network. You can kind of tell. You can always tell. I'm not pretending that you can't. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying you always can tell. Okay. The computer and I have been kind of fighting today a little bit. You know, we're having somewhat of a spat, and I'm it's winning is a problem. it always wins. That's a problem with that. It always wins. Okay, but maybe someday, sometime, someplace, somehow, I will prevail. I will come. I don't really see that happening, but I'd like it to. Just, you know. Anything else? Anything else today before we're done? Anything else? A guy built a full-scale replica of Noah's Ark on Monday in the Netherlands. He didn't do it Monday. He did it over a long period of time. Expects 3,000 visitors a day. It's 427 feet long, 95 feet across, and 75 feet high. And no, I haven't the faintest idea how many cubits that is.
Manamana.
Tomorrow's 12:12:12. We're going to get together at 12, and we'll be here at 12:12. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails. smiling until then.
Happy trails.